The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله Viewers of Madhi Channel, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we look to our rich heritage. We look to the past. We look to the lives of our pious predecessors. We look to the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We look to the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and many others as well, so that we can learn something from yesterday to make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. And this is the second part of a program in which in the first part we mentioned some of the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who is the first of the righteous Khalifas. And we're going to continue with that theme today, where we're going to talk more, we're going to give you more of the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu on this pearls of wisdom. Hopefully we can learn something from them. But before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever faces difficulty should send salat upon me in abundance, because sending salat upon me averts difficulties and calamities. Allahu Akbar, Allah. We keep on saying it, and I'm going to continue to say it. Please make an intention, make it part of your daily routine, to become habitual in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The rewards, every program you watch on Madini channel, the Mubalik will mention the rewards. There are so many times I've mentioned, so many of those Mubaliks have mentioned, the numerous, innumerable rewards, and it's up to us whether we take advantage. So please take advantage of reciting the salawat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who knows that one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. As I said, viewers of the channel, today with the second part of our program, in which in the previous episode of Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, we talked about the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. We're going to continue with that theme and give you more of his sayings in his life as well. It is stated that when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would offer his condolences to someone, he would say, "There is no calamity in being patient, and there is no benefit in crying and wailing." Listen to this. There is no calamity in being patient, and there is no benefit in crying and wailing. Listen, death is easier than what is to come after it, but more severe than what preceded it. If you remember the physical passing of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will deem your calamity to be relatively minor, and Allah azza wa jal will grant you a greater reward. Having patience at the time of calamity. Having patience at the time of calamity is something that we are taught, but unfortunately, again, something where we lose control. And it isn't easy, I know, but at that time still, we should have control of our actions at that time as well. He also said, "Close our door so that we may remain in worship until the morning." Allahu Akbar. In another one of his sayings, he said, "The righteous will be taken from the earth one by one. Only those will remain who are worthless, like the skin of barley and dates. And Allah Azza wa Jal will have no link with them." Astaghfirullah. In another one of his sayings, he says, "Undoubtedly, Muslims are granted reward for everything, including the smallest calamities and the breaking of a lace, even for that wealth which is present in his sleeve. But that Muslim wanders in search of it, and he fears losing that wealth, and then he racks his brains and he finds it." You know, even for the smallest deed, inshallah, we will be rewarded. But the point is that we need to perform those deeds. We need to refrain from committing sins, perform those good deeds, and inshallah, azza wa jal, will be rewarded for it. It is stated that when a group of people are disobedient amongst people who are more honorable than them, and they, the honorable people, do not stop them, Allah azza wa jal will afflict them with such a calamity that they will be unable to remove. Allahu Akbar. When a group of people are disobedient amongst people who are more honorable than them, and they, the honorable people, do not stop them. So when people are disobedient and the honorable people do not stop them, then Allah Azza wa Jal will afflict them with such a calamity that they will be unable to remove. and look at ourselves. When people are disobedient, what is our action? What is our mindset when someone is disobedient? I don't care. It's not my problem, is it? Someone's not reading Salah. I don't care. Someone's committing a sin of adultery, selling drugs. I don't care. Someone's committing adultery. I don't care. Whatever sin they commit, I don't care. This, again, is the wrong type of mindset. We should try our utmost best to stop someone from committing a sin. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you see something that is wrong, when you see something that is wrong, stop it with your hand. Stop it. Physically stop it from happening. If you cannot do that, for whatever reason, and there are many reasons, if you cannot do that, then at least stop it with your tongue. You know, speak out against it, that this is wrong what you're doing, you should not be doing it. If you cannot do that, if you cannot stop it with your hand, you cannot stop it with your tongue, then at least in your heart, say to yourself that this is wrong and this should not be happening. I mean, you're told that this is one of the forms of weakest iman, but at least have that inside us. Nowadays, we don't even have that. We don't care. We don't care if someone's doing something wrong. We don't care what anybody's doing. As long as I'm okay, I don't care what anybody's doing. And we should have at least inside ourselves that what is right, what is wrong, and if wrong is happening inside in front of us, then we should be, you know, affected by it. We should be bothered by it. We should be concerned about it. But we don't. Well, I'm all right, aren't I? My children's all right. It's not affecting me, is it? It's not as if he's selling the drugs to my children, is it? It's not as if he's swearing at me, is it? It's not as if he's abusing me, is he abusing him? So what? I'm okay. And so this I'm all right, Jack mentality is not right in Islam. If you see something wrong, stop it with your hand, stop it with your tongue, at least in your heart, feel that it is wrong. Do we have that inside ourselves? And then the question is, why don't we have that in our hearts? Why are we not concerned about what is happening around us? Have we become so weak? Has our iman become so weak that we're not concerned about what is happening around us? We're not concerned about what's happening to anybody? Is that the state that we've been coming? And you need to ask yourself, why am I in that state? Why have I developed that state of mind where I don't care about anybody? And if that state of mind that I have, that I don't care about anybody, if everybody had that state of mind that I have, where would I be today? Nobody would. If, just imagine a world in which nobody cares about anybody. What kind of world would that be? If nobody cared about anybody, then would the Deen of Islam come to us? If nobody cared about anybody, would we have the upbringing that we had? Would our parents have looked after us? Would we have the education that we have? We have the resources that we have, the facilities. If nobody cared about us, so we should also care about others as well. Not only care about them, you know, from other aspects, caring about the sins that they've committed, but also generally care about your brothers. Generally care about your sisters. Look out for them. Make sacrifices for them. You know, if, for example, you're on the bus and someone comes on, an elderly person, give them the seat. What difference does it make? Your neighbours are struggling to take out the rubbish the day that the bins are being collected. They're struggling to get it back in. Help them. Are we not willing to care for anybody? Because that day will come. You may be strong and independent now. You might not need anybody's help now, but a day will come. I remember, just to share a story with you, my blessed father, when we were young, you know, if he saw anybody broke down on the car, my father was a mechanic, if he saw anybody that broken down on the side of the road, he would always stop and ask them, you know, is there anything I can do? And he would try and help them, and he'd try and sort them. And sometimes he couldn't, sometimes he couldn't. And I used to say to my father when we, you know, got back in the car, I said, why did you help them people? You don't know them. You don't know them. You know, why do you help them people? And he said, Beta, one day you will need help. And I help them with the intention that, inshallah, when I need help, Allah will help me. If I help the creation of Allah, then when I need help, Allah will send the creation to help me. I remember many, many years later, I'd learned to drive a car now, so I was driving my car. And I was at somebody's house, it was quite late, I came out, I parked the car a few blocks away because there was no parking there. And I went to my car to start it, and the battery was dead. And this was like 12, 1 o'clock at night. And I smiled to myself. And I said, and I remembered the words of my father, and I said, Ya Allah, where are you going to send from someone now? You know, are you going to find someone to send to me now? And honestly, you will not believe it, viewers of the channel. A door opened, and a person shouted. He said, are you all right? Everything okay? And I went, no, my battery's dead. He said, give me a minute. And he went out to his back of his house, got his jubilees, came to the front, jump started my car, and started my car, and I went off. Allahu Akbar. But if we have this mindset where we don't help anybody at all, You know, we don't care for anybody. We're not concerned about anybody. And then when they commit sins, we don't care as well, which is even worse. We see sin happening around us. And we don't care. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us, instructed us to try and stop it. And we don't at that point even care about it. Then what state are we in? Coming back to the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, it's reported that he recited a verse of the Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 105. And he says, "O people, you recite this verse." And the translation is such, "O believers, take care of yourselves. The one who became misguided will not cause you any harm as long as you are on the right path." And then he went on to say, "And interpret it in the wrong manner. But we heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, when people see an unjust person and do not stop him, then Allah azza wa jalla will soon punish them all as well." If you see injustice happening, if you see cruelty happening and you do not do something about it, then you also run the risk of being punished as well. When the day of judgment is established, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, when the day of judgment is established, a caller will call out, "Where are those who forgive the people?" Thus Allah Azza wa Jalla will grant the reward for the forgiveness. Where are those who forgive the people? Do we forgive people? Again, it's something that we find hard to forgive people. Because we have this mindset, why? Why should I forgive them? Why should I forgive him? Why should I forgive? Do they not know who I am? Just because I've got a little bit of knowledge, just because I've got a little bit of power, just because I've got some money, I think that I am superior to anybody else. And because of that, I will not forgive anybody. You know how, I don't even know what word to use. You decide the word. How weird is it that I will not forgive him, I will not forgive him, I will not forgive you, I will not forgive anybody, but Ya Allah, please forgive me. We expect Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive us the sins that we have done. But we will not forgive the slaves of Allah. We will not forgive the creation of Allah. We will not forgive His creation. But Ya Allah, forgive me. Why? Why is it that our nafs is so hard that we won't forgive each other? The rewards on seeking forgiveness, the rewards of reconciliation, our deen talks about this. You know, this is the beauty of our deen, that every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our lives is covered in our deen and guidance is given. Reconcile with each other. Seek forgiveness with each other. Forgive each other. Be the one that approaches your brother. Attain paradise through seeking forgiveness from your brother. Humbling yourself, lowering yourself. This is what our deen teaches us. Our deen doesn't teach us arrogance. Our deen doesn't teach us pride. Our deen teaches us to humble ourselves in front of our fellow Muslim brothers. Our deen teaches us to reconcile with those that are far away from us. To make ties with those that we've severed. To make ties that with those that have broken ties with us. Take that step forward. They don't speak to you. Okay, go and speak to them. What will they do? You know, that time has gone. Well, they pull out a sword and kill you if you're going to speak, give them salam. No, that won't happen. They might, you know, push you away from the door. They might close the door on you, but at least you will try. Because the day will come when your relative will pass away, your loved one will pass away that you've not spoken to for years because of your pride, because of your arrogance, you've not spoken to them. But when they pass away, you'll be crying. You'll be crying on that day. And you will have regret on that day. So live your life in such a way that you don't have these regrets. Live your life in such a way that those relatives that you've broken ties with, those relatives that you don't want to see their face, those relatives that when you see them on the street, they cause you tension, remove that tension. You see them on the street, go to the other side of the road, And we're avoiding them. Why are we living our lives like that? Isn't it better that you see them and you can give them a salam? As-salamu alaykum, everything okay? MashaAllah. Remember when you do us, as-salamu alaykum. You don't have to, be involved in the family, but at least don't break ties with them. We're going to take a small break. Now we're going to go to the first package of the day. When we come back, we're going to continue with the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The man of truth, Abu Bakr Siddiq.
And generally, what we see from a worldly perspective, that when a worldly person who is drowned in this world, when he attains some kind of station or rank, what happens is his arrogance increases and he expects other people to carry out his chores. But now, when it came to Siddiqui Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not expect other people to carry out even the smallest of his chores. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not have any element of arrogance in his character. Instead, it was humility and humbleness which kept increasing even after he attained all these ranks and all these virtues. It has been reported that if the nose halter of the camel of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would fall down, nose halter by means of which a camel is led. So if the nose halter of the camel of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would fall down, what would he do? He would make his camel sit down, he would dismount his camel and pick it up himself. And upon seeing this, his companions, they would humbly say that, "Your Honor, please command us, we would present it to you." As those companions of his, they would consider it to be an honor for themselves to serve Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because they knew of his status, of how honored he was. So they would consider it to be a means of honor for themselves to serve Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So they would say that, "Your Honor, please command us, we would hand it over to you." To which he radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that, "My beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam commanded me not to question anyone for anything." Look at the humbleness, the humility of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that on one side, his companions are considering it to be a means of honor for them to serve Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But on the other hand, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is dismounting from his camel to pick up the nose halter that fell on the ground. Look at the extreme amount of humility Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu observed. And there's a great lesson for us in this, that the more honored we become from any perspective, whether it is wealth, whether it is ranks, so on and so forth, we should try to increase the level of humility within ourselves as compared to the level of arrogance and expectations from other people that they should look after us, they should carry out our chores, our tasks.
The man of truth, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhuri Shaun, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, we delve into our rich heritage, we delve into the past, look at the lives of our pious predecessors and learn some lessons from their life. The plan is that hopefully we can learn something from yesterday, make a change in our lives today so that we can have a better tomorrow. I.e. yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in this program, this is the second part of a series of programs in Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow, in which we're talking about the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the first of the righteous Khalifas, one of the first people to accept Islam, the close friend of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In his words of wisdom that again have been passed down from generation to generation, we can obviously learn something from it. Continuing with the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala states that, "I presented myself before Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and I said to him, 'Master, give me some advice.' He, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, said, 'O Salman, fear Allah and know that you will soon gain victories. But I do not know whether you will utilize your share you attain from it or lose it. However, always remember that the one who offers the five prayers, he will be under the protection of Allah morning and evening. And do not kill anyone who is under the protection of Allah, lest you lay your hands on the protection of Allah and then Allah Azza wa Jal cast you into the hell on your face. Always remember," he says, "that the one who offers the five prayers, he will be under the protection of Allah morning and evening." Are we under the protection of Allah? Is Allah Azza wa Jal protecting us? The recipe has been given. The criterion has been given. The way forward is there for us. If you want the protection of Allah, and who doesn't want the protection of Allah? We all want the protection of Allah. But this is the way to gain it. Whoever, he says, "Remember that the one who offers the five prayers, he will remain under the protection of Allah morning and evening." So viewers of Madhuri Channel, I know we're going off the topic here. Please, for your own sake, for the sake of your soft bodies, for the sake of your weak bodies that maybe you think are strong now, but when they enter that dark and lonely grave and the punishment comes to you, for the sake of avoiding the punishment on the hellfire, for the sake of avoiding falling in the bridge of Sirat, change, make a change now. And start reading your prayers. Read your Salah 5 times a day. Come to the masjid, the house of Allah. Be amongst those fortunate ones that Allah Azza wa Jalla enables you, yes, enables you, gives you the blessing, the tawfiq, the ability, the privilege. Yes, it is a privilege. Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows a privilege upon you that you enter His house. You are amongst the privileged ones that you go to His house. Become amongst those privileged ones. That Allah Azza wa Jalla enables you to pray 5 times a day with Jamaat, and inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you will have the protection with you. And inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you'll see a change in your life. Coming back to the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he gave the following advice to Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala. He said, indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has spread out the earth for you, so you must take from it only that which you require. Hi, 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 hi. That which you require. What do we require? How much do we require? What do we need? How much do we need? You know, I remember being told this story that a king, he was getting quite old, and he had 4 sons, and he decided, rather than giving his kingdom to one son, he wanted to divide his kingdom. So he called his 4 sons, and he said that my kingdom is vast. I want to give you all a portion of my kingdom. And what I want you to do is tomorrow morning, at dawn, just before Seri, I want you to meet me at a certain place. And I want you all to set out in different directions. One in the north, south, one in east, one in west. You can choose the direction amongst yourselves. Set out in that direction. And however far you ride on your horse, that land and everything that is in it will become yours. But there's only one condition. And the condition is that you have to be back at Maghrib. You have to be back at sunset. So however far you get back by Maghrib, all of that is yours. Do you understand? The 4 sons said, yes, our dear father, we understand this. So the next morning, the 4 sons gather. And as soon as the father gave the command, they all set off in different directions. Now, dust from the horses of the hooves were being raised, and they all went in north, south, east, west. They went in the directions. So order comes. Nobody's come back. Plenty of time yet, isn't it? Asr comes, and nobody comes back. The father, the king, he comes out, and he stands at that place and starts looking in the distance as Maghrib is approaching, seeing in which direction which one of his sons is coming back. He's looking to the north, he can't see anybody coming back. He's looking to the south, he can't see anybody coming back. He's looking to the east, he can't see anybody back. Looking to the west, he can't see anybody coming back. And he stands there, keep on looking in all the directions, thinking that he'll see one of his sons. The sun sets, and nobody comes back. Why? Bit more, bit more, bit more, bit more. And what do they end up with? Nothing. So take from this dunya what you need. How much do we need? How big a house do we need? How much money do we need? How much do we need of this dunya? Then answer the question, how much of the akhirah do we need? If this dunya is 60 years, 70 years, 80 years long, how long is the afterlife? Infinity. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this dunya is like water that you have on your finger, that is the dunya. The oceans, that is the afterlife, that is the akhirat. You know, next time you go out on a sunny day, not on a cold day, on a sunny day, get a drop of water on your finger and look at it. And you know, within minutes, your finger will dry up. That is what this dunya is. It'll dry up, it'll disappear. Then look at the oceans and think to yourself, have the oceans ever driven up? No, they won't. But we're running after this when we should be running after that. Yes, take from this what you need. Take from this what you need. This dunya is like the sea. You are on a ship traveling through this dunya. We have to travel through this dunya. But the problem is when the dunya comes inside us, when the dunya takes over us, then what happens? Then what happens? We lose it. We sink in this dunya. We become immersed in the dunya. We don't get to our destination. Coming back to the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he states that if someone was to call out from the heavens that only one person will enter paradise, then I have hope that it will be me. And if someone was to call out from the heavens that only one person will enter the hellfire, then I fear that perhaps it might also be me. Two things there. Fear of Allah and the mercy of Allah. Being aware of the fear of Allah and being aware of the mercy of Allah. Through the fear of Allah, he was scared that he would be thrown into the hellfire. But through the mercy of Allah, he had hope that he would go in the paradise. Do we have that fear? Do we have that mercy? Again, questions that we need to ask ourselves. In another one of his sayings, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said that most fortunate is the one who left the world during the beginning of Islam, i.e. before tribulations arose, before fitna came. Now we're living in a time of fitna. It is harder, and we're told that at the end of time, to hold on to your iman at the end of time, it will be easier to hold on to a red hot iron rod, a metal rod that's red hot iron, it will be easier to hold on to that than it will be to hold on to your iman. We are in this time, it is testing time, viewers on the channel. And with this testing time, we need as much resources as we can to help us protect our iman. And this is what Dawat Islam is there for. Dawat Islam is there to give you them resources, give you them tools, give you them opportunities, give you that platform in which you can live your life in such a way that inshaAllah, azza wa jal, you can save yourself from the tribulations and you can protect not only your iman, but the iman of your children and generations to come. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. When we come back from the Kalam of the day, we're going to continue with the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
یار غار محبوب خدا سے دی کے اکبر کا اللہ کا پیارا نبی کا پیارا فاروق کا پیارا عثمان کا پیارا علی کا پیارا حسنین کا پیارا بیا ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ سے اکبر کا بیا ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ سے جی کے اکبر کا الہی رحم فرما خادم صدیق اکبر ہوں الہی رحم فرما خادم صدیق اکبر ہوں تیری رحمت کے صدقے واسطہ صدیق اکبر کا بیا ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا بیا ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا یار غار محبوب خدا سے اکبر کا رسول الانبیاء کے بعد جو افضل ہو عالم سے رسول اور انبیاء کے بعد جو افضل ہو عالم سے یہ عالم میں ہے کس کا مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا بیا ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا بیا ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا یار غار محبوب خدا سے دی اکبر کا گدا صدیق اکبر کا خدا سے فضل پاتا ہے گدا صدیق اکبر کا خدا سے فضل پاتا ہے خدا کے فضل سے میں ہوں خدا کے فضل سے میں ہوں
گدا صدیق اکبر کا
بیان ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا بیان ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا
یار غار محبوب خدا سے
جی اکبر کا
ہوئے فاروق عثمان و علی جب داخل بیعت ہوئے فاروق عثمان و علی جب داخل بیعت بنا فخر صلا سلسلہ صدیق اکبر کا
بیان ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا بیان ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا
یار غار محبوب خدا سے
اکبر کا
لٹایا راگ حق میں گئے کئی بار اس محبت سے لٹایا راگ حق میں گئے کئی بار اس محبت سے کہ لٹ لٹ کر گس گھر بن گیا صدیق اکبر کا
بیان ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا بیان ہو کس زبان سے مرتبہ صدیق اکبر کا
یار غار محبوب خدا سے
صدیق اکبر کا
اللہ کا پیارا نبی کا پیارا فاروق کا پیارا عثمان کا پیارا علی کا پیارا حسنین کا پیارا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ویوز آف مدنی چینل یو واچنگ یسٹرڈے ٹوڈے اینڈ ٹمورو اینڈ ٹوڈیز ایپیسوڈ از دا سیکنڈ آف ٹو وی ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. We mentioned quite a few sayings, and we're hoping that we can learn something from his life. He said, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he once passed by his son, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, and he was shouting at his neighbor. So he said to his son, do not quarrel with your neighbor, for he will remain here. But those who see your argument will go from here, and they will make up various things. Think about the wisdom in that. In another saying he said, that nothing is hunted, nor is any tree cut down until it becomes heedless of the zikr of Allah. If a tree is cut down, an animal is hunted, when it becomes heedless of the zikr of Allah, then what will happen to us when we become heedless of the zikr of Allah? In another saying, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he says that the dua which a brother makes for another brother for the sake of Allah is accepted. Make duas for each other. Make du'as for each other for the sake of Allah, and then insha'Allah azawajal, that du'a will be accepted. It is stated that he once said, by the one in whose power lies my life, if you adopt piety, then it is not far-fetched that the doors of ease are opened for you until you are satiated with bread and ghee. If you live your life chasing the afterlife, if you live your life pleasing Allah azawajal, the dunya will run after you. The person that runs after the dunya, he doesn't achieve the afterlife. And he doesn't get the dunya. But we are told here, and many people have said, many of our pious priests said that if you run after the afterlife, you run after the akhirat, you run after the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, the dunya will run after you. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal. It is stated that once Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was delivering a sermon on the minbar, and he said, I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, the ruler who is just and humble is in the shade of Allah's mercy upon the earth. And his spear, thus whoever advised the ruler regarding himself and the slaves of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will place him under the shade of his mercy on the day of judgment. And on that day when there will be no shade besides the shade of his mercy, and the one who deceived the ruler regarding himself and the slaves of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jalla will disgrace him on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. In another one of his sayings, someone asked Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that did you drink alcohol during the pre-Islamic period? He replied, Allah's refuge is sought. I always protected my honor and humanity, whereas the one who consumes alcohol loses both his honor and his humanity. We know, viewers of Manchab, that to drink alcohol, to stay away, it is a grave sin, but drinking alcohol, you lose your haya. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you lose your haya, do whatever you want. And this is what happened when people have drank alcohol, when people take drugs, they'll do anything. The mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, states that my father, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, would make one dua in the morning and the evening. And that is this dua. He would do the dua, O Allah, may the end of my life be my best. May my actions be sealed upon good. And may the best of my days be in the day on which I see you. Ameen. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, we said it, you know, that as Muslims, we said on other programs, I remember recently discussing this, that as Muslims, we also always should strive to have the best day, the best week, the best month, the best year. Make an intention that this month of Ramadan, if Allah Azza wa Jal blesses with me, will be my best Ramadan. This day, what's left of this day, will be my best day. This week, what is left of this week, will be my best week. This year, what is left of this year, will be my best year in my life. Always strive that every day, every week, every month, every year, every Ramadan, every blessed night, every blessed day, every Jummah will be your best. And continuously strive that. And if today becomes your best day that you've ever lived, try and strive tomorrow to make it even better still. It was said regarding this dua, Oh, but what is the need for you to recite this dua? You are a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are the second of the two in the cave. He replied, sometimes a person performs the actions of the people of paradise his entire life, but his end is upon an action of the people of hellfire. It can also be a case that a person carries out the actions of the people of hellfire his entire life, but his end is upon the action of the people of paradise. Meaning, always fear the hidden plan of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so we should also be concerned, worried about our iman. That how will we leave this dunya? Will we leave this dunya in a state of iman? If we do, then we can class ourselves as successful. And if we don't, then we are complete failures. But are we aware of those actions that could possibly cause us to lose our iman? Are we aware that if we are disobedient to parents, if we cause difficulty to other fellow Muslims, if we are lazy in our salah, if we don't reply to the azan, if we don't perform the hajj that is farz upon us, then all of these things and many other things could cause us to lose our iman at that difficult time. That difficult time where it's hard to think straight. You know when you got a pain in your tooth and you take a day off work, why? You don't work with your teeth. But that pain affects the whole body. Imagine the pains of death, that pain through us. Can we think strength at that time? That time will shaitan will try to come to us in the guise of our parents, our loved ones, and try to take our iman away from us. That time is going to be such a difficult time, such a scary time. That is the time where we need to protect our iman. We need to live our lives in such a way that we protect our iman. So as Muslims, it's incumbent upon us that we become aware of those things, that we learn those things, so we can protect our iman. You know, there's a booklet of Amir al-Sunnah, Causes of a Bad End. It is available in Urdu and English. Download that book, read that book. It mentions all of these things that I just mentioned and many more of those things that can cause you to lose your iman. Those words that you can speak that can take you out of the fold of Islam. Those words of profanity, are we aware of those? So we need to protect ourselves, become aware of those things, because, you know, ignorance is not bliss. You know, people have this saying in English, oh, I didn't know, so it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay that you don't know. You have to know. You have to acquire this knowledge. Coming back to the sayings of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, stated that when the first Khalifa of the Muslims, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, would lead the funeral prayer of a deceased person, he would make the following dua. O Allah, this slave of yours has been left without aid by his household. wealth and other relatives. His sins are many. You are the most forgiving, the most merciful. Forgive all his sins. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala would mention this in his dua. O Allah, I ask you for which is good for my end. O Allah, whatever goodness you grant me, make it a means of your pleasure and the highest stations of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abdul Aziz bin Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq would also make this dua. O Allah, I ask you for bounties. I enter into paradise and freedom from the hellfire in everything. And allow me to thank you upon this until you are pleased with me. O generous one, grant me the goodness of all good works with ease, without any difficulty. In another, it states that his dua would contain the following words. O Allah, grant me complete faith, absolute certitude, protection from all calamities, and a sincere intention. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. In another one of his du'as, he said, O Allah, I ask you for that mercy of yours which you grant upon those who go in your way. Allahu Akbar. In another one of his du'as, he would say, O Allah, make the truth apparent to me and allow me to follow it. And make falsehood apparent to me and allow me to avoid it. And do not make it ambiguous for me, lest I begin to follow my desires. Views on the channel, we're going to go to a small break now, inshallah. When we come back, we're going to sum up the topic. The time, again, is against us. Let's go to the final package of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The definition of true love. You know when somebody really admires somebody, looks up to somebody, that person becomes their life, becomes everything for them. It is truly a special relationship. And when that person that is admired, that is loved, is the best of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wow, that love is amazing. The companions of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that true love for the best of creation. They were the most humble and sincere devotees to walk on the surface of this earth. And the leader of those devotees was none other than Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A true ashik sadiq, a sincere devotee of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His love for the best of creation knew no bounds. He sacrificed everything at the feet of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the time for his demise came, when he knew that the time for him to depart from this world was close, then he leaves a will and he says, wash me. Using the same bowl that you used for Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he calls Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali al-Murtadha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he says, when I pass away, after giving me ghusl, give me kafan, and take me to the blessed rosa of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then put me there and say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salam upon you. Abu Bakr is present and seeks your permission. If the doors of the blessed mausoleum open, my Habib accepts for me to be buried next to him, then bury me there. But if the doors don't open and I don't get permission, take me to Jannatul Baqi and bury me there. Hazrat Ali Murtada radiallahu ta'ala says that having given ghusl to Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, we took his body mubarak and we placed it at the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Rauza Mubarak. And we humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr seeks your permission. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, as soon as I said those words, I saw the doors open and a voice came from the unseen, enter the beloved to the beloved. We then buried Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That friendship that developed from the early days, through the difficulties and toils and torturous time of Makkah, through the migration to Madinatul Munawwara, to the time in Madinatul Munawwara, till Islam was now flourishing, and then his reign as Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then his final resting place next to the beloved Habib. Truly, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq was the greatest devotee of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Madhya Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And in this program and in the previous program, we talked about the sayings, the pearls of wisdom from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the first of the righteous caliphs, one of the first people to accept Islam, the close companion of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who was second a person that was in the cave with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, what a great personality he was, what things that we can learn from his life, the sacrifices that he made, you know, the way he lived his life. And just listening to some of his sayings, we come to know, you know, what a personality he was. The reason for us giving these sayings and giving the du'as that he mentioned was to make us realize that even though he was so close to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very humble. Nowadays, when we become close to someone famous, we become a little bit arrogant ourselves. But he humbled himself. And in one of his sayings where he said that, you know, a person can live all of his life performing good deeds, but at the time of death, he can die in falsehood. And another person that can live all his life committing sins, at the time of death, he could enter the fold of Islam and become a true believer. But we don't know this. We don't know this. And we need to read about their lives. I would advise you all, there are some beautiful books available from our website, www.dawatislami.net. A lot of people nowadays have these PC tablets. Download them. Download them and make it part of your routine just to read a few pages. Read about their lives. Become inspired by them. Become inspired by them because, you know, we talk about, you know, in our deen that we talk about loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk about how important it is to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how? How should we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look at the lovers, how they loved. Look at how they adopted the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their lives. Look at how they adopted and followed the commands of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at how they said labbaik whenever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to do something. And when you look at their lives, and at the same time read the life, the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you'll have that warmth inside you. How many of us have read a seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of us have read the seerah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu? How many of us have read the lives of these great people? How many of us have read the lives of other great companions? How many of us have led the lives of our pious predecessors who lived their lives? They are your role models. They are the people that you need to aspire to. But unfortunately, as Muslims, we don't know anything about them. So my humble request is that during this year, during whatever life Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us, we utilize it in acquiring the knowledge of the deen. Yes, acquire the knowledge of the Quran. Yes, acquire the knowledge of the fiqh. Acquire the knowledge of the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But also learn to know who these great personalities were. And inshallah, if we learn from their lives, then we can make a change in our lives today so that we can have a better tomorrow. Viewers of Madhya Channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madhya Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Allah. Allah.